Happy Resurrection Sunday to you.
And you.
We're glad you're here today. It is a glorious day today. Oh, and we have Mr. and Mrs. Stokes with us today. Let's give them a big hand. I've called LaRonda several times this week just to let her get used to Mrs. Stokes, you know, that Dale Priest and LaRonda were married a week ago. God bless y'all. Thank you, our worship team today. They do a great job today. God bless you. Glad to have Don sitting in with us. We went out to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We found a few to help us, you know, around. It's good to see you today. Over 100 years ago, a countess in a Western European country became very sickly. She had been unmarried, and she was approaching her 30th birthday. She was very cynical. Her life had not turned out the way she wanted it to turn out. And she was particularly cynical about God. And you dare not mention the fact of Jesus rising from the dead. She was planning her funeral years before it ever came. She had her plot where she was going to be buried, and here were her specs. She wanted a large, very thick granite piece of rock over where she would be buried. It would be lined then around the edge with large stones, which would be bound together with very thick ribboned iron. And she wanted this inscription to be upon it. "This burial place, purchased to all eternity, must never be opened." Now imagine that. She died. The executor of her will fulfilled her every desire about how she would be buried. And time began to march on. In the interim, a seed from a birch tree blew in, fell into one of the cracks, and began to grow. The first thing that was stressed was those iron bands. And as the tree began to grow out of and through the granite and the stone, the iron bands broke. And then the stones that were attached on the outside, they began to move. And finally, as if to add insult to injury to her last request, that big piece of granite split right down the middle. You see, there was a reminder about life and about what God can do. With all of man's defenses and all of his plans, he will not dictate to the Lord. Today I want to share a passage of Scripture with you from Luke chapter 24 on this Resurrection Sunday, the first 9 verses. As we continue in our series of messages today, a faith for the times. And the title of today's message is The Resurrected Life. Hear the good news. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing spices which had been prepared. And they found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. happened while they were perplexed about this. Behold, two men suddenly stood near them in a dazzling apparel, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still with you in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. The resurrection story is a fact of history. Just think about the evidence that we have. You really can't think about the Bible just as one book, yet we look at it as one book, but it is a collection of 66, along with many other extra-biblical sources that verify and attest to the resurrection. Many eyewitnesses saw him. We have that recorded in Scripture and recorded in other places. They saw him. They laid eyes on him. They knew he was dead there. The professionals that were guilty of execution, yet he laid down his life, they knew he was dead. He was buried, and now eyewitnesses see him. Peter and John see him. They testify of seeing him. We see that over and over again. Mary saw him. The 12 minus Judas saw him. Other women saw him. The Emmaus Road disciples, remember Cleopas and the other disciple that saw him? 500 saw him at one time. We see that recorded in the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. A very large group of people assembled to watch him ascend into heaven. A lot of eyewitnesses there. I could give you many more, but here's a linchpin. After he arose, no one could ever produce a dead body. Think about it now. Wrap your mind around this. For all the redactors of history that will come back and try to retell the story and redo it later on, come on. Let's be honest. They had it in their interest. The Romans had it in their interest. The Sadducees had it in their interest. The Pharisees had it in their interest. Everyone that was against him, all of those that were surrounding him, it was in their best interest to go out and produce the dead body of Jesus. And if that body was there, don't you reckon they would have carted that body all around Jerusalem? Think about it. Yes is the answer to that question. That was not a rhetorical question, by the way. Yes, of course they would have done it. But how could they do that when that body was alive? They were staring him eyeball to eyeball. Yes. You know, there is more evidence to verify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ than there is to say that Napoleon Bonaparte ever even lived. Now, several years ago, well, it's been a long time, it's probably been a couple of decades ago now, I heard this story from a Christian musician. They were in a cab in a large city in the United States, driving through town, and they noticed that as soon as they got in the cab, the cab driver made it pretty plain that he was a Muslim. And that he realized that his passenger was a Christian. And here is some of the conversation that ensued. The cab driver began to talk about Muhammad. Here's what he said. He said, you know, our leader, Muhammad, who founded our religion, he came from obscurity. His passenger said, well, you know, my guy, he came from obscurity also. In fact, he never went more than 200 miles from where he was born. The cab driver went on. He said, well, Muhammad, he rose to great popularity. And his teaching was quite radical for the day. I don't know if I'd buy into that, but that's what he said. His passenger said, we know my guy. He rose to be quite popular. And boy, was he radical in his day. Muslim went on. He said, you know, Muhammad was respected by many. In fact, today he's respected by millions and millions of people in the world. Passenger said, well, you know, my guy's respected by a lot of people too. And in his day and even today, you could see that the Muslim taxi cab driver was becoming quite irritated. He said, well, my guy founded a world religion. Look at all the people. He said, well, my guy, he didn't do too bad on that side of things. You think about it. Muslim said, well, Muhammad, he died a glorious death, and he was entombed there in the city of Medina. You know, Mecca and Medina. He was in Medina. And the passenger said, well, you know, Jesus was, he died on a cross outside Jerusalem, and he was entombed there. And then the conversation stopped. The passenger leaned forward so he could make eye contact. And he looked at his cab driver, and he was looking at him in that little mirror. And he said, well, aren't you going to tell me the rest of the story? He said, man, I told you he died. He said, well, you know, my story goes on. He said, my guy only had to borrow a tomb. He only needed it 3 days. And he lives in my heart today. Great story. Today, I want you to see how this resurrection story affects your life. We talk about the resurrected life. The resurrection of Jesus, it affects your past. Your past. He forgives all your wrongs, all your sin. He cancels that by His death on the cross and resurrection on the third day. He forgives your sin. The wounds from my past need not continue to spoil my life because of the resurrection of Jesus. Some of us have lived horrible lives early on. Some of you seated here today have experienced great abuse by people that were in authority over you in some way. As children, at other times in your life. And I want you to know today that the loving Son of God knows exactly what you have been through in your life. But those wounds, they need not spoil your life anymore because Jesus is risen. Unforgiveness has no power over me anymore. And the death that unforgiveness brings to a person's life as they translate that to the next generation and the next generation, such that people forget even what they're angry about. The evil one can no longer use my past against me because of the resurrection, because on the cross and through the resurrection, Jesus put to death sin, Satan, and death. They died. The past can no longer continue to be a predictor of my future. And all of those things that societal norms would tell you today that says, oh, this is the way you are and this is the way you're going to continue to be. No! No! There's a wonderful change that comes in my life when Jesus comes. He renews us. He makes us brand new. He forgives our sin. And finally, under that one, stupidity need not be fatal. If any of you have done any stupid things in your past, well, half a dozen of us are honest. We just got a snapshot of all the rest of you liars. Thank God for that. My oldest son asked me one day, he was teasing me about getting older. He was 25 at the time. He said, Dad, just face it, you'd like to be my age again, wouldn't you? I said, no. He said, give me one good reason. Come on. I said, and I won't be that stupid again. Stupidity. But you think about it. When Jesus comes into your life through the power of His resurrection, He makes all things new. And your past no longer can be a cement suit that you're thrown into the water and you're drowning like most of the world. What if the love of Christ right now just broke out in the Middle East? Whew! What power. Secondly, the resurrection affects my present. I can live a free life now. A free life where I'm not bowing any knee to anyone or anything save only Jesus. Did something yesterday that I do every year. I watch the Ten Commandments. Anybody with me on that? I've got to see Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner. You know, I've got to see that. And it is amazing watching it yesterday to hear all the references to freedom that are there. You know, the Exodus, the coming out, and thinking about what having Jesus in your life does for you and gives you freedom. Freedom to live. Freedom from all the stuff of your past. Secondly, I can have peace. Real peace in my life. Peace, not like the world gives, but peace. To be at peace. I know everything's going to hell in a handbasket around you. I know it's like you're in the eye of the tornado, the eye of the hurricane, that everything's swirling, world events, circumstances, all the junk that's going on. But in the middle of that, He can give you peace. Give you peace. I can have the power to live my life every day and not be dangled over the fire, you know, like one of the Puritan divines, that, you know, Jonathan Edwards, his sinners in the hands of an angry God kind of thing, and feeling like that my life is being dangled out there. Like I don't have to live that way. I have the power to live in spite of the circumstances, to not let circumstances dictate to me, not where I've come from dictate to me. You know, Jesus isn't concerned about where you've come from. He's concerned about where you're going. I can have joy. I don't mean a pasted on plastic, fakey, hokey-dokey, put all the South Georgia modifiers in there you want. For those of you who need a translator, we provide that later on. It's one of our ministries. I can really have joy. Joy in my soul that just springs up. I can deal with bad news. That means I can read the paper. I can look at the headlines on my Yahoo homepage and not have to take a Valium. I can look at life from a different angle. I can see hope. Hope. I can see beyond the damnation of the circumstances of everyday life. And finally, my worldview is different. I'm not hanging around waiting on politicians to decide what my life is going to be like. No! I can live. And I can live today a full, rich, meaningful life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, full, rich, meaningful life. Third, resurrection of Jesus affects my future. Fear of the unknown goes away. Now, that's the clock that's ticking in everybody's head in the world right now. You got it? I read a lot. Some of you do also, across a wide span. In fact, I like to read a lot of people that I violently disagree with. Now, some days I have to take a fast from that because, you know, I don't want to be running off any cliff anywhere. But one thing that is consistent with everyone that is apart from Jesus today, the unknown is a great fear in their lives. A great fear. What's going to happen? But see, with Jesus in my life and because of the resurrection, I know where I'm going, man. Hey, threaten me. Oh, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Whoop! Wait a second. That just means I'm dispatched to the Son of God quicker than the rest of you. My professor of political science, I'm a history and political science major in college, and one of my professors of political science, Dr. Coyle, he remember years ago hearing him say this. He said, you know, you can threaten many other groups, he said, but through history you've just not been able to threaten Christians very effectively with death. I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with him forever. I know where my Jesus kin are going to. I don't post much on Facebook, but any of you read what I posted yesterday? Well, three of you. Thank you. That means I have three Facebook friends. Oh, now I see the hands going, oh, yeah, yeah. We're at a revival meeting now. Oh, yeah, come on down. You're changing now. Yeah, I see how it is. All right. But I got to, I had some time alone yesterday morning, and I just got thinking about all my family and my friends that have beat me there. And you know, my, you know, today is my, would have been my brother-in-law, Keith, his 57th birthday today. He died a couple of years ago, and he is with Jesus today. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, that rascal, you know, he's up there. He is enjoying the presence of Jesus in such a powerful way right now. What an encouragement to think about the because of the risen Lord Jesus. I know where all my Jesus kin are going. Death has no victory over me. Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. And finally, I'm going to spend forever with Him. My eternal life started the day that I received Jesus into my life. That very day when I crossed the threshold of faith, I invite Jesus in. It started that day. Now the resurrection of Jesus calls for response from me. This Jesus character cannot be ignored. You got to do something with Him. You can't ignore Him. You can't, you know, He literally is the elephant in the room. You know, because He's a larger-than-life character of history. Well, why do you think so many people go to such pains to speak against Him? Because His presence is there. His presence in history. His presence in everything. Can't be ignored. Secondly, if you don't use His power, what are you going to use for power? And by the way, how's that working out? Your power. I'm going to do it by my own. I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. What an idiotic thing to say. It makes sense on no level. Third, you can die twice and live once, or die once and live twice. You see, the person who receives Jesus into his life, he's only going to die physically. Well, unless Jesus comes back to get him before then. He's not going to die at all. How's your plan working out? What have you done with Jesus? Are you willing to bet eternity on your plan? I know that when I was just a young fellow, Jesus came into my life. My earliest recollections, I can remember my mother and my grandmothers, both of them, reading the Bible to me, reading the stories of Jesus. And my mother taking great pains to share with me the gospel story. At the age of 10, I saw a radical change take place in my home. My dad became a Christian. Our home changed. It changed overnight. Can't quite describe to you all the details of that, but I know it changed. I was a very observant kid, like most kids. Soaking in more than they ever thought. So for me, it was a slam dunk about Jesus. I knew He changed lives. I'd seen it. I wanted Him in my life. I wanted Him forever. How about you? On this day, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Why not choose Him today? Let us pray. Lord, I thank You for Your presence and Your power. I thank You that You died on the cross, that You were buried and You rose again on the third day. I thank You, Lord, for what You've done for me and for so many around me. I bless You. You truly are Lord. Today, Lord, I intercede for all of us on this wonderful day. For those of us who are still kicking the tires, a little bit perplexed maybe, but today Your light has shone through, Lord. We've seen Your truth that Jesus is alive, is ready, willing, and able to come into my life. Change me. I'm asking You, Lord, I'm praying right now, I'm interceding. Lord, for those in the sound of my voice that have never received Jesus in their lives, that today will be the day. Not joining a church, Lord, not having a religious experience, but experiencing personally the forgiveness and the presence of a crucified and risen Lord Jesus. I'm asking You for that today, Lord. You've never received Him in your life. You say, well, what do I say? How do I pray to Him? Well, He's listening right now. He's here. You can pray this prayer with me. But make it from your heart. He's more interested in your heart than He is your words. But let this prayer come from your heart. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sin. I realize I need You. I ask You today to come into my life, to forgive my sin, to be Lord of my life. Thank You for saving me. If you prayed that prayer with me today and meant business, I'd sure like to know about it. I'm going to have some folks down here that would love to talk to you. I'll be here. But for sure, write it on your card today so we'll know that you asked the Lord into your life. We would like to talk to you a little bit more about it. Also, today I talked about a lot of things about the resurrected life. Most of you here today have long since done business with Jesus. And I ask you today, is that resurrected life what is coming forth from your address, from where you work, from where you drive your car? How about it? What's your life like today? Lord, we give all this to You right now. We give you this service. We give you ourselves. For such a time as this, Jesus. You have come for us. Thank you. The altar's open. As some of us continue to pray, you would look this way, the rest of you. I'm so glad you've been here today. Want everybody to stay for lunch today. We got David the Elder has smoked I don't know how many pounds of barbecue, and it's homemade barbecue sauce and covered dish back there, and I hope it's all going to go with barbecue. That's a big joke. What doesn't go with barbecue? But we hope you will remain with us today for the meal. But before we have the meal, we're going to have our resurrection dance. Ms. Rockwell's going to lead us out there on the front lawn. But make sure, as soon as I say amen in just a moment, that you have children back there. Go get them and bring them out. You know, it's kind of a, you know, kind of a Yul Brynner, Charlton Heston thing, let my people go thing in the back here. Okay. A little religious humor there. All right. So very little, in fact. So make sure you get your children today. All right. Lord, thank you for this time together. We bless you. We bless you. You are the resurrected and coming again real soon, Lord of heaven and earth. Bless you today. In your name we pray. Amen.